Let's open our Bibles back to the Old Testament, the book of Joshua. Joshua is the sixth book of the Old Testament. We don't go to the Old Testament very often, but today that's where we're going to go. We're going to go to Joshua chapter 24, the very last chapter of that book. So you have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua. Joshua chapter 24, and I'm going to start reading at verse 14. So if you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. This is good. Let's stand while God's word is being read. For those of you who can't stand, if you need to sit, I understand. Starting with verse 14. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God Himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because He is our God. Joshua said to the people, You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, He will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after He has been good to you. But the people said to Joshua, No, we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said, You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, We will serve the Lord our God and obey Him. On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people, and there at Shechem he drew up for them decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. Then he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak near the holy place of the Lord. See, he said to all the people, this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we have set this special day aside as a day of commitment. Well, there will be many commitments of different types happening within the sanctuary here this morning. So, Father, you're the only one that can truly check our hearts. You know exactly what we truly believe, what we truly think. And so, Father, we just ask that, Lord, we do want to serve the Lord here today. Guide this message that I'm about to give. May your word transform lives here today. And may we all leave here this morning, Lord, with a true sense of commitment to you. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. There was a man who wanted to start a business. The business was going to be large. There were going to be 10 departments in this business. The man had started businesses before, and he was going to start this new one. He owned the place. So he hired himself 10 managers. Each manager to manage each one of the 10 departments. He brought them in for an initial meeting one day and said, here's the way it's going to be. I have started other businesses before, and if we follow this plan, your businesses will grow. I need to have your assurance that you're going to do this, and this, and this, and this, and this. And when you do, your business will be competitive, it will be profitable, and it will grow. After he outlined the plans to the 10 managers, he said this, now who's on board with me and my plan? And he went around the room and asked each one of the 10 individually, are you on board? Are you on board? Are you on board? And each one that he went to answered, yes, yes I am. When the meeting was over that day, the 10 of them went in 10 different directions to manage their division of the company. The days went by, the weeks went by, and it was a year later. 5 of those 10 divisions were not competitive. They were not profitable. They were not growing. 5 of them were. You see, the 5 that were not only were they not competitive, profitable, or growing, they were even consuming resources from the other 5 divisions that were doing well. When those 5 managers left that day, the unproductive ones, each and every one of them said this, I'm not going to do it his way. I'm going to do it my way. I know much more than this owner. I know that I can make my division competitive, profitable, and it will grow if I do it my way, because it will never work if I do it his way. The other 5 people, managers, decided, I will do it his way. He has a proven track record. The 5 that did it the right way, they were competitive, profitable, and they did grow. The owner calls the 5 poor managers into his office and challenges them and says this, your departments, your divisions, are not doing well. You're not competitive, you're not profitable, and you're not growing. Because you decided to do it your way and not my way. Because instead of giving me quality service, you only decided to give lip service. I had 10 people sit in this room, and each one of them said that they would do it the way that I outlined. And the 5 of you failed to do it that way. Because you chose to do it your way and not my way, you're fired. Get out of my sight. Those 5 poor managers left. The owner calls in the 5 good managers and says this, those 5 departments, they are now under your leadership. So those people who just had 1 department now had 2. They wanted to do it their way, and not the way that was outlined by the boss. You see, some people just give lip service, and some people give true service. In our message here this morning from Joshua, our scripture text, Joshua, as you remember, was the man who took over after Moses. Joshua was the man who led the Israelites into the promised land after 40 years of wandering in the desert. In Joshua chapter 24, Joshua is just about ready to die, and he presents a challenge before the people. And he says this, make a choice. Make a choice, people. Which way are you going to go? Are you going to serve the God who brought us up out of Egypt with His mighty hand and kept us alive in the desert for 40 years? Or are you going to serve the gods of the Amorites and the people in whose land we are now inhabiting? But make a choice. And make a choice today. Who's it going to be? This way or that way? Let me paraphrase Joshua. Joshua in the 21st century would say this. Either give true service, but don't give me lip service. If you're going to say this, then do this. And if you're not, don't. Either go this way or go this way. Decide today, which God are you going to serve? Starting with verse 16, the people answer, we'll serve God. We'll serve the true God. I like it in verse 19 where Joshua kind of raises the bar a little bit and says this, oh, you say you're going to serve the Lord? I say you can't do it. I say you can't do it. You know, if there's ever a challenge before a person, tell them that they can't do something. That many times gives that person a lot of incentive to do whatever that is. Joshua says, I don't think you can do it. And the people responded, oh, yes, we can. We will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Joshua said, okay, you said that you can do it between you and the Lord. So the question is, did the people serve the Lord or not? Well, in your spare time, I invite you to read the rest of Joshua chapter 24 and then the next book, Judges chapters 1 and 2, and you will get your answer. But don't do that today, at least not now. Go home and read that. You'll see how things worked out. Make a commitment. I call today Commitment Sunday. Many people are going to get baptized and make a commitment. There's going to be a baby dedication. There's going to be a commitment. But that commitment isn't just for the baptism candidates and the parents of this lovely little girl right here. The commitment is for all of us. So I'm going to give the same challenge to this church that Joshua gave to his people. Who are you going to serve, people? Who are you going to serve? Is it going to be the God who saved us or the God of this world? And trust me, the God of this world looks pretty pleasing. The God of this world looks very inviting because the God of this world really has a lot of things that my flesh really, really wants. And maybe the God who saved us or the God who's the Savior in heaven doesn't look as appealing to us because there's a commitment there. But we need to decide who it is we are going to serve. Each and every one of us, at some point a little bit later on, are going to walk out the doors of this church. And trust me, either you're going to go this way or you're going to go this way. You're going to make a commitment to serve the Lord or you're going to make a commitment not to. Joshua sets the standards high. And I think that's the problem in many churches today. If I set the standard down here, that's all that you'll live up to, is right here. I feel like I need to be like Joshua. I need to set the standard high. First of all, it's what I'm called to do. But I don't want to produce Christians or people who are down here somewhere. I want God to use me to produce Christians who are fruitful, who can go out into the world and reproduce that Christianity. We will only rise to the height of the expectation. Well, my friends, let me tell you this. My expectation's up here. And let me tell you why. Because this is my expectation of me. This is expectation of me. I don't want you to be down here. I want us all to grow to the highest expectation possible. Because Jesus sets a high expectation. Jesus says this, are you going to follow me? If you're going to follow me, he says this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. If you're going to follow me, then you cannot love your mother or father more than me. That's a pretty high expectation. Jesus says this in that same verse, if you're going to follow me, you can't love your son or daughter more than me. And that's a very high expectation. Many of us inherit our parents, and we know the love that we have for our children. But Jesus says, you can't love that child more than you love me. In the very next verse, Matthew chapter 10, verse 38, Jesus says this, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to make that commitment, you need to take up your cross and you need to follow me. The cross was an instrument of death. And I think Jesus explains that in the next verse, verse 39. He says, you will lose your life if you want to find it. You're going to lose your life. You're going to take up your cross. We are not our own anymore. We no longer serve ourselves. We serve a new boss. And then in Luke chapter 18, verse 22, Jesus says this as far as setting the standard high. You want to follow me? Well, money and possessions are not more important than I am. Now, let me tell you, my friends, that's some pretty high standards. Mom and dad and son and daughter and my possessions and my money and my stuff and even me. None of this is as important as Jesus. Well, my friends, that's the commitment Jesus wants us to make. That's the commitment he wants us to make. Jesus says this, you cannot serve two masters. Either you're going to serve the God over here or the God of the world, because you can't serve both. You'll hate one and love the other. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verses 16 through 20, he talks about a church called the Church of Laodicea. The church in Laodicea had a really bad problem. They were lukewarm. Jesus says, you're not even hot or you're not even cold. You're not here and you're not here. You're somewhere in between. And Jesus says this, because you're not here and because you're not here, what am I going to do? I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Spit you out of my mouth. Today is the day in the life of Beech Grove where some people need to quit riding the fence and make a decision and decide today who it is that you're going to serve. Either the God who sent his son Jesus Christ to die and save us, or the God of this world. You see, that boss in that story that I told earlier gave the people a choice. Here's what will make us successful. This is what will make your department successful. Just follow this and you'll do okay. But no, they had to do it their way. Sort of like Elvis. Elvis says, I did it my way. You see where he ended up? Joshua gave the people a choice. Who are you going to serve? Here or here? And even God says, either be hot or be cold. But don't be somewhere in the middle where you're lukewarm. Today is a day of commitment. Not just for these folks here and those who are getting baptized, but for each and every one of us. For each and every one of us. Joshua did something. Here he said this. He said this on that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people, and there at Shechem he drew up a decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. Then he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak near the holy place of the Lord. Well, we might not have an oak in our church here this morning, but I do have kind of a large rock. And I'm just going to repeat the words of Joshua. See? This stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God. Or let me just say that in the positive. See, This stone will be a witness for us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us, and it will be a witness for us. When we are true to our God, the stone simply says, Commitment Sunday, 5/15/11. It's just a rock, my friends. But it's symbolic, just like it was in Joshua's time. Just a symbolic rock that says, you know what? On this day, on 5/15/2011, I made a commitment to do this, whatever this is. And I'm not afraid to put this person on the spot, that on March the 16th of 2008, this young lady right here, Linda Armentrout, came forward and said, today, I put a stake in the ground. Today, I decide I'm going to follow the Lord. And if I know Linda, like I know Linda, I guarantee that she has done that. Sometimes, folks, we just need to put a stake in the ground and say, you know what? Today is the day I'm going to do and follow the Lord. So with this stone as our witness, I will put it over here on this windowsill. If it needs to be moved, it can be moved. But sorry for all of us on the day that that stone leaves this church. Amen. We're making a commitment today, folks. It's Commitment Sunday. So with that, let's start with this commitment right here. So I'm going to move this aside. And I am going to read a little bit here, and then I'm going to call a few people forward. First, let me read this. And I'm really directing this at the parents of that beautiful baby right there, and then we'll have them come forward, along with the family if they so desire. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, starts off by saying this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. All of us with children, no matter if they're 3 months old or 53 years old, makes no difference. It's kind of a parent's responsibility to make sure that we raise our children in the Lord. So with that, I am going to ask John and Chelsea and Elena to come forward. And if there's members of the family who would like to come forward during this time for this baby dedication, you are certainly welcome to come on up here. And you can stand right there if you like. Chelsea, would you please show that beautiful little girl to this congregation? You can stay right there. I'll kind of stay in the middle here. A baby dedication. This will be my first one, and hopefully not my last. What we stand here to do today is this. Just like the rock, we stand here to make a commitment that these parents are going to make a commitment to the Lord, and we're going to commit this little baby girl to the Lord. With that, first, before I read from here, John and Chelsea, I'd like to just put my hand on this little baby, anoint her with a little bit of oil on her forehead, okay? And just dedicate her to the Lord. Elena, I anoint you with oil and put the sign of the cross on your forehead as a symbol to whose you are, that you are a child of God, that you will be brought up in the ways of the Lord, and that you will serve Him always because you're such a beautiful little girl. We trust that the Lord will take care of you and guide you and bless you all the days of your life. and that your parents will stand beside you and work with you throughout those days. And we'll give them all over to you in Jesus' name. I'm also going to anoint the two of you. Okay. First, I'm going to ask you a couple questions. This is a day of commitment. This is the day that not only has the rock heard what we said, but so have the people in the congregation. And we do that so we can all hold each other accountable. So let me ask this question to the parents. Do you commit to be an example of Christ with your actions and in your words in the presence of your daughter? Amen. And one more question. Do you commit to bring this child up in the training and instruction of the Lord as instructed by God's holy word? John, let me anoint your forehead, young man. I anoint you and bless you. Chelsea, in the name of Jesus, I anoint you. Congregation, this is a beautiful thing that's happened right here. Family, isn't this wonderful? We all, not only do these parents, but we all, family, friends, congregation, we have a responsibility too, to make sure that they are all brought up, as they have a responsibility to us to make sure that we stay in the guidelines of Jesus Christ and are brought up in the Word. So with this, may I hold your child? Isn't she beautiful? This young child, through this ceremony of dedication, has now been dedicated to the Lord. Linda and I talked last week, and I said, you know, I really don't baptize babies because I think baptism is a thing that a person needs to come of age and be able to make that decision. But a baby dedication would be fine. And as I explained to Chelsea on the phone, the baby dedication is more for the parents than the child. But this child has now been given over to the Lord, just as Hannah gave her son Samuel over to the Lord. We never know what's going to become in the life of this little girl. But I know this. I certainly want God to bless her, and the mom and the dad. I'll give the baby back to you. Isn't this a wonderful thing, my friend? Question. You all may be seated. Thank you all so much. I have a feeling that baby's going to be in more arms this morning than she knows how to count at this point in time. We've had one commitment. Parents committing their child, Elena, to the Lord, committed the baby to the Lord. Again, symbolic, the rock is our witness. And now we come to baptism. We're going to have a baptism here in a second. So those of you who have told me that you're going to be baptized with that commitment, would you please come forward at this time? Okay, I'm going to let you all stand up front here, and I'm going to kind of stand. I don't want to be in anybody's way, so maybe I'll stand over here on this side. Gail, I don't want to get in your way either here. Mistin, Tamora, and Shirley, and Amber, Olivia, and Lee. I want you to know a couple things. You're about to be baptized as an affirmation of your faith, correct? Baptism in itself does not save. It is just that, an affirmation of the faith that you already have. I'll also say this to you and to the congregation, that baptism is not necessary for salvation. Just ask the thief on the cross. But you have all affirmed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and with that you're about to go on over into the water and be submersed in that water of baptism. So with that, I have a few more questions to ask you, and if the answer is yes, let me give you a hint. The answer to all these questions is yes, okay? Just all of you as one, just answer yes to these questions. Because it's the foundation of your faith. Candidates, do you know and understand that your sin has separated you from God? Do you know and understand that the Bible holds the only solution to that problem? Do you know and understand that we are not saved by our works, by our good works, but only by the grace of God and faith in that grace, and that in itself is a gift from God? Amen. Do you believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God? He is God in the flesh. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the perfect and substitutionary sacrifice for all of our sins and has paid the price for each and every one of our sins? Amen. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father? He says that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and He is not one of many ways, but the only way to the Father. Amen. Do you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord of your life? Do you believe in your heart that the Father raised Jesus Christ from the dead? Do you now have a desire in your heart to repent and turn away from your sins? That is the proof of the faith that we have. Let me assure you, as I've assured all of you throughout the years that I have been here, that even though we've made a commitment to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that doesn't mean that we leave this place as a perfect person, that we still have our failures. But here's the thing about a true believer in Jesus Christ. Even though we fail, we persevere. We persevere in the faith. Every day has its challenges, and every day we move on. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to go on out and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and have so other people can have what you have? Are you ready to be those faithful representatives of what Jesus Christ has done for you? Are you ready to get wet? Okay, at this point in time, I know I didn't talk to them about it, but the candidates for baptism, we're going to go over there and start getting ready. Greg, could you conclude the service for us through the song and have the people sing? And at that time, what I would like to do is, when the song is finished, everyone is welcome to come next door to the fellowship hall, and we will have a lunch. But we will do the baptism first. We will all be ready for that. And what I will do is, right when the baptism is over, I'll have a prayer so we can go and eat. Cameras are certainly welcome, video cameras, whatever, you take as many pictures as you want. This is a great day. This is a day of commitment in the life of Beech Grove Church. And not only do we have us that are sitting here as witnesses, we have this rock that will be here for a long time as a witness. But the most important one of all, we have God as our witness of what we are committing to do today. So with that, let me just have a quick word of prayer, and then the seven of us, we will go next door and get ready.